Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 15th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. and EU strike a deal to end a 17-year trade dispute.
The U.K. extends its lockdown for another month as the Delta variant spreads.
Tensions remain high ahead of tomorrow's meeting between Presidents Biden and Putin.
Plus, a busy day on the economic front with retail sales, producer prices, and the start of a Fed meeting.
It's a big step against COVID in New York State. Plus, it's down to the final week of campaigning before New York City's Democratic mayoral primary. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshaw in sports. Kyrie Irving will not play for the Nets tonight. The Mets beat the Cubs, and the Rangers have hired a new coach.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are moving higher this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 7 points. Dow futures up 45. NASDAQ futures up 20. 10-year Treasury is up 3/32. The yield, 1.48%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. NYMEX crude is up 0.2%, up 16 cents, $71.04 a barrel. COMEX gold, little change, down 70 cents at $18.65.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.2127 against the dollar, and the yen is at 110.14. Amy?
Nathan, we begin in Europe, where the U.S. and EU have struck a deal to end a 17-year dispute. The conflict over aircraft subsidies to Boeing and Airbus is ending. Let's get the latest live in London with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Amy and Nathan. It's been a fight with an $11.5 billion price tag. That's the value of the tariffs imposed by the US and the European Union on each other's aircraft exports. Now, after 17 years, the two sides have finally agreed to end their dispute. Bloomberg understands the deal means that all future passenger aircraft made by both Airbus and Boeing will be required to be developed without subsidies. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. And more news this morning involving the U.S. and the European Union. The EU is set to lift travel restrictions for U.S. residents as soon as this week. While some EU members already allow vaccinated Americans to visit, inclusion in a new list means that restrictions will be lifted across the bloc.
Meantime, in the UK, coronavirus restrictions will last at least another 4 weeks. A more infectious variant has been spreading across the country, and that has Prime Minister Boris Johnson keeping restrictions in place till mid-July.
I'm confident that we will not need more than 4 weeks, and we won't need to go beyond July the 19th. It's unmistakably clear the vaccines are working, and the sheer scale of the vaccine rollout has made our position incomparably better than in previous waves.
Boris Johnson's revised lockdown timetable is expected to go to a vote in the UK Parliament tomorrow.
And we're one day away from a key meeting between Presidents Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin. The two leaders meet in Geneva as U.S.-Russia relations continue to degrade. Here with more is Bloomberg's Ed Baxter.
The president, after a full day of meetings, said the overriding theme is bringing the globe's democracies together against the threats of China and Russia. So after today, he will have met with the G7, NATO, and European institutions headed toward tomorrow's meeting with Vladimir Putin, hoping for cooperation.
I'm not looking for conflict with Russia, but that we will respond if Russia continues its harmful activities. And we will not fail to defend the transatlantic alliance.
Biden does say Putin is a worthy adversary. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Ed. Back here in the U.S., tax policy is in focus. A key Democrat pushing to expand state and local tax deductions is considering proposing a one-time wealth tax on the richest Americans. Let's get those details now live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Amy. The Patriot tax is still in the exploration phase, and it's intended to address wealth inequality, which exploded during the pandemic. New York Democratic Representative Tom Suozzi's proposal would call for a one-off 2.5 0.5% tax on accumulated wealth of more than $50 million and a 5% levy on assets over $100 million. Those subjected to the tax could pay for it over 5 years. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Back on Wall Street, more workers are returning to the office. Goldman Sachs welcomed all staff back yesterday. Morgan Stanley says its return to office policy will remain flexible until Labor Day. But CEO James Gorman says if workers are comfortable dining out, they should feel safe at the bank's headquarters.
When the vaccines weren't ubiquitous, we had to deal with that reality. Now they are. If you can go to a restaurant in New York City, you can come into the office. And we want you in the office.
James Gorman made the comments at a virtual conference hosted by Morgan Stanley.
Meantime, at J.P. Morgan, the streak of blowout earnings during the pandemic may be coming to an end. CEO Jamie Dimon is signaling a 38% drop in quarterly trading revenue that was even bigger than Wall Street analysts had forecast.
Last quarter is exceptional. This quarter is what I call more normal, where you can plug in your model and make it really simple. It's like something a little bit north of $6 billion, which is still pretty good, by the way, and probably better than we told you last time. But last time we said, more like 2019, I forget what that number was, but plug in a number a little bit north of six.
Dimon also spoke at that virtual conference held by Morgan Stanley. While fixed income and equities trading will be closer to pre-pandemic levels, the J.P. Morgan CEO says investment banking revenue will likely outperform thanks to an active M&A market.
Meantime, on the economic front, we're looking at a busy day on Wall Street. The Fed begins a two-day policy meeting, plus we get the latest readings on producer prices and retail sales. Here with more on the May retail data is Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
Government stimulus checks have driven relatively strong retail sales in recent months. Investors will be watching to see if that trend continues. They expect it to. But the data fade a bit in significance given two current trends, the spike in inflation and a shift in consumer preferences towards services consumption. Inflation-adjusted spending on goods and services, reported later in the month, will provide a better read on consumption patterns going forward. One category to watch, restaurant and bar sales. Though often thought of as services, they do count as good spending. The reopening of the economy should give them a boost. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Michael. The housing market also in focus. Global real estate prices flash bubble warnings that haven't been seen since the run-up to the 2008 financial crisis. The U.S. and the U.K. are also near the top of the rankings. Coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak, your local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. New York State is at another positive milestone in the fight against COVID. According to the CDC, nearly 70% of people in the state have been at least partially vaccinated. Governor Andrew Cuomo had said that most remaining restrictions would likely be lifted once the state hit that threshold. During his briefing yesterday, Cuomo also said the state's single-day positivity rate is at 0.35%.
There is a direct correlation. These are numbers, so there's a logic to it. The more people get vaccinated, the lower the positivity rate.
Cuomo is calling on anyone who hasn't gotten a vaccine yet to make an appointment or simply walk into a site. New York City will celebrate the essential workers who got the city through the coronavirus pandemic with a July 7th ticker tape parade up the Canyon of Heroes. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
It's a day to celebrate and appreciate the heroes who often go unsung. We're going to sing about them this day.
Mayor de Blasio says the parade will feature floats for healthcare workers, first responders, educators, municipal workers, transportation workers, grocery and bodega workers, and delivery people. It's a big day in California. Most all of the pandemic rules that 40 million residents have lived under for a year and 3 months are gone today. For those who are fully vaccinated, they can go without a mask to most places. New York City mayoral candidate Eric Adams received a boost with a week to go before the Democratic primary. New York Mets owner Steve Cohen gave $1.5 million to the Adams Political Action Committee. Real estate executives have also contributed to Adams' mayoral bid. According to New York City's campaign finance board, total contributions to the PAC created to support Adams rose to $6.2 million from $2 million in the last month. Other mayoral candidates are into the home stretch of their campaigns as well. Maya Wiley spoke about her plan to shift $1 billion from the NYPD on CNN last night.
We need our New York City Police Department One, focused on the crimes that are on the rise and deploying our resources with that in mind and doing it smartly.
Wiley has received the endorsement of Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg Gaming.
All right. Thank you, Michael. 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Amy, the Nets were plagued by injuries all season. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden only played together seven times. The hope was they'd all be healthy for the playoffs. In the first round, they were, but Harden re-injured his hamstring in the opening minute of Game 1 with Milwaukee. Irving severely sprained his ankle in Game 4. Neither will play in tonight's Game 5 in Brooklyn. The only one of the big three left is Durant.
I wish my brothers were out there playing. I wish they were healthy. But like you said, that's a part of the game, and we all understand that. We wish they were out there playing, but I know they're going to be doing their best to get back on the floor and get healthy as fast as possible.
The series is one of three in the NBA, tied at two. Atlanta came from 18 down to beat Philadelphia. The Clippers beat Utah. Stanley Cup playoffs, Vegas took Game 1 with Montreal. When Vegas made that run to the Cup Final a few years ago as an expansion team, the coach was Gerard Gallant. He was the NHL's coach of the year that season. Now the 57-year-old Gallant is the Rangers coach, replacing David Quinn, who got fired. Gallant has also coached previously with Columbus and Florida. At Citi Field, Mets beat the Cubs 5-2. David Peterson looked like Jacob deGrom. Six scoreless innings, allowed only one hit, a homer for Dom Smith, Kevin Pillar with a 2-1 double. Yankees, after their third off day in the last 8 days, are in Buffalo tonight to play the Blue Jays, and the Yanks will have to contend with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who is on pace to win the American League Triple Crown. Last night, hit his 22nd home run. MLB has started its crackdown on pitchers using a sticky foreign substance. Reportedly, those getting caught will get a 10-day suspension. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy?
Thank you, John. John mentioned the Nets' James Harden. Harden's actually joining the board of Saks, a standalone e-commerce business that's separate from the Saks Fifth Avenue department stores. He's also making a minority investment in Saks. S&P futures up 5.75. Dow futures up 28. NASDAQ futures up 20.75. This is Bloomberg. Checking your weather now. Partly sunny today. Showers are possible as we go up to 80 degrees. Back down to 60 tonight with clearing skies. Right back up to 80 tomorrow with plenty of sunshine. It's 67 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Markets appear unruffled ahead of a key Federal Reserve meeting opening today. Futures are on the rise as bond yields drift lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 5 points. Dow futures up 23. NASDAQ futures up 19. The 10-year Treasury is up 3/32. The yield 1.48%. Yield on the two-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude up 0.3%, up 19 cents, $71.07 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 60 cents at 18.65 even an ounce. The euro 1.2125 against the dollar. British pound 1.4076. And the yen is at 110.11. The Federal Open Market Committee does open that two-day June policy meeting today at 8:30. We get retail sales and the producer price index. That's followed by industrial and manufacturing production at 9:15. And at 10, we get business inventories and the NAHB housing market index. Oracle is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Joe Biden turned his attention to the European Union today when he meets with the European Council. President Biden's European visit is aimed at a solidarity message for Russian President Vladimir Putin. Biden will meet with Putin tomorrow in Geneva. Heat records are being broken as the first extreme heat wave of the year extends across the West. Heat warnings stretch from California to Montana and Wyoming. Authorities say electrical grids in Texas and California are being pushed to the brink. In Major League Baseball, the Mets, Nationals, Red Sox, A's, and Giants were all winners. The Orioles lost. In the NBA playoffs, the Hawks and Clippers won. NHL playoffs, the Golden Knights won. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 519 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're learning more about the NATO summit in Brussels. We're joined now by Bloomberg reporter Maria Tadeo. She's also in Brussels. Maria, let's just get start right off the bat. Was this considered a successful meeting?
Well, I would say it was, you know, to the extent that the mission here was to present a united front, to show that the United States, the European countries, and also the rest of the NATO members are very much aligned, that they still stand by Article 5. As you know, this is a principle that if one member of NATO gets attacked, then everyone else would come to the rescue. President Biden was very clear on that yesterday, in which he said, we view this as a sacred obligation, a very similar line taken during the G7. So this was about sending a message, putting on a united front. That was very much what came out of both meetings on this tour. But of course, the toughest stop in this European tour that President Biden is doing is coming tomorrow when he meets Vladimir Putin in Geneva. But so far, you could argue the president is coming into this meeting with a lot of leverage. You know, he can say the G7 is standing by me. NATO is also very much aligned to our position, and therefore we're in a good position to ask Putin to majorly de-escalate his actions.
Let's get into the meeting with Putin, if we could. Let's talk about what he is expecting to get out of it, because as you said, he is building this alliance, and he is showing this galvanization of the allies. How does that act as leverage as he walks into the meeting? Will it matter to Vladimir Putin?
Well, I mean, Vladimir Putin, of course, has his own way of operating, and to some extent, he is someone who benefits from disunity. He's someone who benefits from unstable politics, and he did benefit from the Trump presidency to the extent that there was no joint position from the Western liberal democracies. I think when President Biden gets to Geneva tomorrow, it will be a very different tone, and it will be a very different context. You know, it'll be very clear what the U.S. is standing for, and it'll be very clear what Russia is also standing for. Under President Trump, there was a lot of ambiguity as to what exactly D.C. and the White House intended when it comes to Russia and when it comes to Vladimir Putin. So he's, to some extent, in a much more, I would argue, clear position, much better defined than the previous administration. Whether Putin is going to play ball or not, that remains a question mark. Let's remember, there are many issues they need to talk about, you know, from the cyber attack, from hacking, but also Navalny, the opposition leader who is in jail right now. And frankly, he's in a very difficult position. And the United States have said that if he dies while being imprisoned by Russia, that would signal a major deterioration in diplomatic ties.
Maria, I did want to ask you about that, because with the president going into this meeting with what sounds like sort of a threat, saying this gentleman better not die or it's going to be trouble for our relationship, does that help with the negotiations that are coming up, or even just the talks that are coming up?
No, I think to some extent he has no other option. You know, there is no way that the president of the United States can go into a meeting with the head of Russia, who for many is considered an autocratic leader, for many in Eastern Europeans is considered as a very aggressive, almost Soviet-style aspirations to enlarge Russia and to have this grandeur for the Russian nation. So, you know, to some extent, it's very difficult for President Biden to not say that. You know, he needs to come in and say the opposition in Russia has to be heard, and he cannot die for what it is, a political reason. And we have to factor that Navalny is someone who was poisoned last year, who is believed to have been poisoned by agents with some ties to the Russian government, and then immediately arrested after going through all of this as soon as he got back to Russia for reasons that are not clear and look very arbitrary to some extent.
Okay, very briefly, Maria, what does Vladimir Putin want to get out of this meeting? You already said how he wants to expand Russia into what sounds a lot like what used to be the Soviet Union. Got about a half minute here.
Yeah, well, Luna, I think for Vladimir Putin, of course, he knows that Russia is an economy that has not done well over the past 10 years. This is more about his figure, how he's perceived in Russia. When you have a meeting like this that essentially gets you in every newspaper in the world, this is a megaphone for your ideas and to some extent his propaganda and his government lying out of this. So he's probably hoping for something that makes him look like a strong man, but this is purely a message directed to the Russian people. On the international scale, the reality is Russia is a country that is very isolated.
All right, Maria Tadeo in Brussels. Thank you so much for taking the time with us, Maria Tadeo. And we are going to continue to watch the developments as President Biden gets ready for that meeting with Vladimir Putin tomorrow. S&P futures are up higher, 5 by 5. Dow futures gained 20. NASDAQ futures up 19. This is Bloomberg. Coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak, we'll learn more about the NATO summit in Brussels and, of course, tomorrow's meeting with Vladimir Putin. Terry Haynes of Pangea Policy will be joining us just ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are rising ahead of a busy day on both the economic and political fronts. The gains come a day after both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ closed at records. Right now, S&P futures are up another 5 points, and the yield on the 10-year is at 1.48%.
Meantime, there's word of a big deal between the U.S. and EU. The two have reached an agreement to end a 17-year dispute over aircraft subsidies to Boeing and Airbus. We get the latest from Bloomberg's John Ainger in Brussels.
The U.S. and the EU have finally agreed to end that dispute. It's a big deal, really. That's kind of come as Biden's in Brussels today. There is an element that China is a key focus in this resolution, given that a manufacturer there is kind of coming up. So I think Europe and the US are very wary that they need to act now in order to kind of prevent any challenges in the aerospace industry.
Bloomberg's John Ainger reporting a formal announcement on a deal is expected later today.
Well, while tensions are easing between the U.S. and Europe, they remain high between Washington and Moscow. The stage is set for a pivotal meeting between Presidents Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin in Geneva tomorrow.
If he chooses not to cooperate and acts in a way that he has in the past relative to cybersecurity and some other activities, then we will respond.
President Biden wouldn't say whether he'll seek concessions from Putin, saying he won't negotiate in public.
Now back in Washington, tax policy remains in focus this morning. A key Democrat pushing to expand state and local tax deductions is considering proposing a one-time wealth tax on the richest Americans. Let's get those details now live with Bloomberg's Renita Young.
Amy, the Patriot tax is still in the exploration phase, and it's intended to address wealth inequality, which exploded during the pandemic. New York Democratic Representative Tom Suozzi's proposal calls for a one-time 2.5% tax on accumulated wealth of more than $50 million and a 5% levy on assets over $100 million. Those subjected to the tax could pay for it over 5 years. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And again, S&P futures are up 5 points right now. Dow futures up 26. NASDAQ futures up 17. The 10-year at 1.48%. NYMEX crude up 0.3% at $71.13 a barrel. COMEX gold up 40 cents at $18.66.30 an ounce. And the euro is at 1.2125 against the dollar. Straight ahead, local headlines and sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Nathan. It is 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. It is a big step in New York State in the battle against COVID-19. According to the CDC, nearly 70% of people in the state have received at least one vaccination shot. Governor Andrew Cuomo said that most remaining restrictions would likely be lifted once the state hit that threshold.
where we are today is 0.4 positivity rate. Where we were in January, 7.9, almost 8%, from 8% to 0.4%. You look across the state, it is down all across the state, COVID.
Cuomo also said that the state's single-day positivity rate is at 0.35%. New York City will celebrate the essential workers who got the city through the coronavirus pandemic with a ticker tape parade up the Canyon of Heroes. Mayor Bill de Blasio says that it's time to hold the parade he promised in April of last year.
Groups of essential workers, floats for healthcare workers, first responders, educators, municipal workers, transportation workers, grocery and bodega workers, delivery people, you name it, all the essential workers who made it happen, everyone who kept it together in New York City for all of us.
De Blasio says the parade will take place on July 7th. Only 1 week is left before the New York City mayoral Democratic primary. A new Marist poll shows candidate Eric Adams is leading at 24%. As for the rest of the field, Catherine Garcia is at 17%. Maya Wiley is at 15%. Wiley says we need our New York City Police Department in fighting crime, but it has to be done smartly.
That also means a balance with all the things that we know will solve the problem once and for all. And this is the thing about public safety. What we're trying to do is grow it and make it smarter.
Wiley made her comments on CNN last night. Andrew Yang is fourth at 13%. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is apologizing for comparing COVID-19 restrictions to the horrors of the Holocaust. The Republican lawmaker previously compared mask mandates to the Nazis forcing Jews to wear yellow stars.
I'm truly sorry for offending people with remarks about the Holocaust. There's no comparison. There never, ever will be.
Green's apology came after visiting the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right, thank you, Michael. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Amy. Here in mid-June, no one could have expected the Mets to be in first place and the Yankees to be in fourth. Pitching has propelled the Mets. Last night, David Peterson hurled six scoreless innings, allowed only one hit. Mets beat the Cubs 5-2. They own a four-game lead in the NL East. Yankees, losers of 13 of their last 18, were off. They played Toronto tonight in Buffalo. Another Yankee loss drops them to 500. NBA playoffs. Atlanta came from 18 down to beat Philadelphia 103-100. Trae Young continued his torrid playoff. 25 points, 18 assists. Sixers star Joel Embiid shot 4 for 20, 0 for 12 in the second half. The series tied at 2, so are Utah and the Clippers. LA took game 4, 118-104 as Paul George and Kawhi Leonard both scored 31 points. Nets and Bucks are tied at 2 with game 5 tonight at Barclays. The Nets will be without both James Harden and Kyrie Irving. Coach Steve Nash was asked how much they'll now rely on Kevin Durant.
If this does not fall on Kevin, this falls on the Nets. We got to find a way together to play great basketball, both ends of the floor. We've proven we can do it. We've had a great, we've had a great series offensively in the first two games, defensively for the most part. Now we got to put it together in a pivotal game 5.
Not known if Harden and or Irving will play in this series. Irving hurt his ankle in game 4, left the arena in Milwaukee using crutches. Rangers have their new coach. 57-year-old Gerard Gallant replaces the fired David Quinn. Gallant has coached previously with Columbus, Florida, and Vegas. He got him to the Stanley Cup final as an expansion team. Vegas won last night 4-1 over Montreal. The Islanders have game 2 in Tampa Bay tonight. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Amy.
All right, thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
This week, Goldman Sachs is requiring almost all employees at its perch over the Hudson to report to their desks. Citigroup won't recall more of its staff to its mostly empty Tribeca office tower in Manhattan until July. Even then, the firm has told most workers they can adopt a hybrid schedule between home and the office. New warehouses in New Jersey could be required to have roofs ready for solar power. That's if a bill backed by the legislature, the commercial real estate industry, and others is signed by the governor. It's designed to encourage more solar panels or thermal units on warehouses that are springing up all over the state. The New Haven School Board has voted to rename the Christopher Columbus Family Academy as the Family Academy of Multilingual Exploration. All over the country, Columbus statues have been taken down and landmarks renamed because of the explorers' treatment of Native Americans. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. 538 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that credit scores are at an all-time high, but at least one credit card industry giant is not celebrating.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about the mask optional policy at Disneyland.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on business disappointment over longer restrictions without any additional financial support.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston, Texas. This is banning investments in businesses that cut ties with the oil industry.
This is Charlie Pellet, and on KYW in Philadelphia, I'm reporting on how NBC says the Olympics may be the most profitable ever despite the pandemic.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Hyundai and General Motors say they're pushing ahead with developing flying cars.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Coming up on the economic front today, we'll get a kitchen sinkful of data from retail sales to inflation. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Economists are forecasting sluggish retail sales even as Americans go back to work. Industry data point to weakness in May auto sales. Inflation data, the producer price index, could ring more alarm bells, and a report on factory output could illustrate the impact of the stretched global supply chain. Also today, home builder confidence, business inventories, and regional factory data from New York. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. Deutsche Bank set to rake in $1 billion on a trader's shipping bet. London trader Mark Spend made a long-shot bet on the once-distressed Israeli company Zim Integrated Shipping Services, putting Deutsche Bank on track for one of its biggest wins since its trades against U.S. subprime securities more than a decade ago. This is Bloomberg. Checking weather, partly sunny today. Showers possible, growing up to 80 degrees, back down to 60 tonight. Skies will be clear, and then back up to 80 tomorrow. Should be nice with lots of sunshine. It's 68 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are higher, but pairing some of their earlier gains as bond yields drift lower. Markets fearing mostly unruffled ahead of a key Federal Reserve meeting. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 4 points. Dow futures up 13. NASDAQ futures up 15 points. Solid gains for European indices. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. The CAC in Paris is higher by 0.5%. 10-year Treasury is up 3/32. The yield 1.48%. Yield on the 2-year is 0.15%. NYMEX crude up 0.3%, up 19 cents, $71.07 a barrel. Brent is up 0.3% at $73.08. COMEX gold little change, down 40 cents at $18.65.50 an ounce. The euro 1.2123 against the dollar. British pound 1.4074. The yen is at 110.15. And just checking, Bitcoin at $39,949. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you, Nathan. President Joe Biden is in Belgium today, meeting with the King and Prime Minister at the Royal Palace of Brussels. President Biden will also meet with European Union officials. Tomorrow, Biden will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva. The House Judiciary Committee is beginning its own investigation into the Trump-era Justice Department surveillance of members of Congress and journalists. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell characterized the scrutiny as, quote, a witch hunt in the making. In Major League Baseball, the Mets, Nationals, Red Sox, A's, and Giants were all winners. The Orioles lost. In the NBA playoffs, the Hawks and Clippers won. NHL playoffs, the Golden Knights won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right, thank you, Michael. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The NATO alliance agreeing that China's rising military ambitions present challenges that have to be addressed. German Chancellor Angela Merkel urging the group to not close the door on China necessarily. She's calling for balance. Let's get more on this and other issues out of NATO from Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy. Terry, it is always a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time. Before we really dig deep into NATO, we're really just a day away from President Biden's scheduled meeting with Russia's President Vladimir Putin. How should President Biden prepare for this, and what does he want to come of this?
Good morning, Amy. What the president says that he wants, and the administration say that they want, is a more stable and predictable relationship with Putin's Russia. That, of course, is the one thing that Putin's not likely to give them. It needs confrontation both in a domestic sense and for his international stature. And on top of that, you've got a situation where the symbolism cannot be lost on anyone that Biden's coming from not just the G7 meeting but from the NATO meeting also, trying to present the most allied face against Putin. But you've also got on top of that a burgeoning relationship between Russia and China that's really been going on since the Crimean crisis a few years ago, about which nothing is being said today, by the way, on Crimea. So there's little incentive for Putin to really want to do anything but continue to poke the United States. So I don't think anybody's going to get any satisfaction out of this. And the face that President Biden has been putting forward is much more in the message delivering mode than the trying to seek accommodation mode.
Well, how long does it take to deliver a message? Because we're getting word this morning now from a spokesman at the Kremlin who says that meeting should last 4 to 5 hours. Golly, that seems like a long time. What does that tell you?
What it tells me is that certainly Russia, what Russia wants to do is have a long discussion and set up one of two things, either get satisfaction on that and be able to say that they achieved one thing, which was to have long discussions with the United States, and at the same time set up an expectation that if President Biden doesn't give them the 4 or 5 hours, then the lack of a relationship is on Biden's shoulders. So I think it's a little bit of gamesmanship going in more than anything else.
Let's look at NATO, if we could, for a moment. There's some interesting rhetoric against the rising challenge being posed by China. That's a relatively new development for NATO because they've also been dealing with the challenge posed by Russia as well. Why the pivot?
The pivot, I think, is a desire to – there's really two things. One is a desire to revitalize NATO and its mission and focus the entire NATO membership on worldwide challenges. That's number one. Number two, I think the G7 certainly – coming from the G7 – they certainly feel that they've got China's attention. China is now calling the United States ill. So I imagine there were some a few cautious smiles on Air Force One yesterday and today. But the bottom line here is that what they want to do is make sure that they're not just talking about security in Europe, but the security in Europe is a much more worldwide endeavor than it was even a few years ago. And that is a significant shift. You're quite right.
And they're also talking about security in cyberspace as well as space in just about 20 seconds. Does that seem like an interesting pivot for you, very briefly?
Oh, yes. I think there is a change that from a desire to want to talk about military in a conventional sense and talk about it in security in a broader sense. And that, I think that's very important.
All right. Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy. It is always a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time with us. And we are this is Bloomberg on Bloomberg Daybreak. Nathan.
OK, Amy, thank you. It is now 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Ballinger.
The FDA's drug chief says external scientific advisors need to remove emotional overtones from their deliberations and focus on scientific decisions. Three advisors recently resigned after the agency approved Biogen's Alzheimer's drug. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a bill to provide liability protections for businesses operating during the pandemic. An animal rights group seeks to end the government's wild horse adoption program, charging the Bureau of Land Management does not prevent the horses from being resold for meat.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching. The Justice Department will tighten its rules around obtaining records from members of Congress. That comes after news that the department, under former President Trump, secretly subpoenaed records of two House Democrats, members of the media, and former White House counsel Don McGahn. For more on the matter, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to national security expert William Banks, a professor at Syracuse Law School.
The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has said that what the Justice Department did here with these subpoenas is worse than Watergate. Do you agree with that?
It's too early to say, June. It's possible that this is a big scandal, but there's so many things we don't know about the subpoenas, about what investigation was concerning, whether there were multiple investigations going on. It seems like this is all connected to leak investigations, but leak investigations that are prompted by politics more than concerns about national security, for example. If there's a pattern here in what we've been able to learn so far, it's that the supposed leakers or those whose records were subpoenaed and obtained were political opponents of Donald Trump, so that the White House was apparently enlisting the Justice Department to do its political sniping and warfare rather than simply asking it to enforce the law. And if that's the case, I think that's what Speaker Pelosi is driving at. That's bad. It's very bad. But of course, at the same time, we don't have strict legal limits on what the Justice Department's capabilities of exercising the subpoena power are, particularly with respect to members of Congress or their staff.
Trump's first Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, his second Attorney General, William Barr, and former Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein claim to have no knowledge of this. Could an investigation like this be going on without the knowledge of the Attorney General?
Not if they're doing their jobs. One of them is either telling a lie or weren't paying attention to what their subordinates were doing. There's another official whose testimony is going to be sought here, Mr. John Demers, who is head of the National Security Division at the Department of Justice. He announced stepping down as of next week. This was a planned departure, not hastened, I think, by these events. But Demers was another official head of NSD, National Security Division, who could have authorized the subpoenas. But in any case, Rosenstein should have known or approved, and the Attorney General. This was not everyday business in the Department of Justice.
That was Syracuse Law School Professor William Banks speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. You can catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures turning mixed now, with S&P futures now up 2 points. Dow futures little changed. NASDAQ futures up 11. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield 1.48%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude up 0.4%. Now up 25 cents at $71.13 a barrel. COMEX gold little change, down 80 cents at $18.65.20 an ounce. The euro 1.2124 against the dollar. The yen 110.16. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.